U-Brake Wheel Fix is a wheel repair and refinishing company located in North Miami with 15 years experience. Fix bent or cracked wheels damaged on the streets of South Florida. Fast turnaround times on most repairs, and we even offer loaner wheels while we fix or refinish your wheels so you can keep your car on the road without interruption. Are your wheels faded or peeling? U-Brake Wheel Fix offers complete refinishing back to factory standards. Bored with the look of your wheels? U-Brake Wheel Fix offers 5,000 different finishes to customize the look of your wheels. Don't spend money on new wheels when you can renew them at U-Brake Wheel Fix. U-Brake Wheel Fix offers a full line of custom wheels and tires for every vehicle application. We offer in-house repair and complete vehicle customizations. Call U-Brake Wheel Fix today at 305-748-0112 or online at ubrakewheelfix.com. That's the letter U, breakwheelfix.com. We're on social media, can be found at UBreakWheelFix on Google, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Yelp. Mention 5 Reasons Sports when you call and receive 15% off your repair. Let me introduce you to another sponsor, bestever.com. That is BSTEVR.com. Bestever.com is a fantasy sports simulator that uses real-life data to simulate hypothetical situations. For example, ever wondered if Dan Marino could win a Super Bowl with a top 10 running game? We all have. You can do that with bestever.com. Let's say the Dolphins are in the running for a big free agent. Just add him to the current team and simulate games to see how it can turn out. Just open a free account and start building your own story and have bestever.com spit out game stories just for you. BestEver is not only fun to use, but has many uses beyond just curiosity. Go to bestever.com. That's BSTEVR.com. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on. Welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. And this, I guess, will be an Aaron Jones edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. A lot of interest in Aaron Jones of almost 200 questions that I got asked, that we got asked on our 3 Yards Per Carry account. Many were on Aaron Jones, so I guess we'll get to it. But before that, of course, the show is brought to you by Biscayne Bay Brewing. You can check them out at BiscayneBayBrewing.com. Of course, their lager, their Miami Pale Ale. The Tropical Bay.
I don't know how many times you try. It just doesn't get better.
I just try to put some emphasis into it so you guys comment on it. Tropical Bay IPA, their Saison. Is that right?
What did you just say?
Saison.
Who?
Saison? No?
Who's that?
Or Saison.
Is he a pitcher?
It's Saison.
Yes, it's a Saison.
Saison.
What is happening here?
Yeah. Well, get it at Publix. Get it at Total Wine. Get it at ABC Liquors. Put it on your Instacart. Have it delivered to you. Yeah. Well, yeah, what is happening here? What is happening here is that we're not doing a Manscaped commercial. We're just going to tell everybody. 5 RSN, 20% off. You know it by now. We talk about it on the 3 Yards Per Carry account. I tweet it out all the time. No accidents, right, boys? With Manscaped as of late? No?
Accidents?
No accidents. Oh, yes. Accidents.
No.
I should hope not.
So everything's been smooth.
Accidents on Manscaped? Boy.
Well, on our last show, you said the Dolphins had a hard-on for Jadeveon Clowney. They were on top of it, and they've been jabbing at him for 2 years.
No, I said they've been getting jabbed because... Oh, okay.
Well, this show is about...
Maybe it's the other way around now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it's more the other way around. I think Jadeveon Clowney has been putting them on.
Do you think the Dolphins would be a top or a bottom in this situation?
With Brian Flores, they're a top.
Yeah, generally they're a bottom, though, aren't they? They're the receivers, yeah. Not the givers.
I mean, let's be honest.
Although, if they were the receivers, they'd probably be fucking injured.
They don't have any receivers. That was the problem.
Or they'd be dropping it. All right. Aaron Jones, a lot of interest. We've been tied to the great Aaron Jones. He is a spectacular player. Nobody better to talk about him, at least in this market, although I understand he's in London, but he's on a podcast in this market. Nobody better to talk about him than somebody who's very well versed in Aaron Jones. Simon, take it away. How good is the player?
I think he's a terrific player. I've seen a lot of him because my missus supports Green Bay and I've watched most Packers games over the last couple of seasons. He is the sort of matchup player that you're looking for in modern football. You know, we talk about factor backs. You know, you hear that on things like NFL Matchup, when Merrill Hoge is talking about a factor back. And 10, 15 years ago, a factor back was somebody who would carry the ball 25, 28 yards. You know, Derrick Henry is a kind of an old school factor back. You know, Emmitt Smith, they were the kind of guys that carried the ball 25 times a game. Aaron Jones is now the modern factor back because he can block in pass protection. He is a really good instinctive runner between the tackles, but he can also break long runs. You know, he's a long run running back. And he's also an outstanding receiver, you know, and he's not just a flares. He's not just a short, swing passes receiver. He's a guy that can line up outside and go down and make catches, run routes, make catches outside the framework of his body, he will go up and get it. He will out-muscle safeties. He's a matchup nightmare for linebackers. He's fifth in the NFL in yards from scrimmage and tied for second in total touchdowns over the last two seasons. Only Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook have at least 3,000 scrimmage yards and 30 touchdowns since 2019. So he's in pretty high company. The three backs have the highest breakaway run percentage in 2020 on a minimum of 150 carries. Nick Chubb at 42%, J.K. Dobbins at 39%, Aaron Jones at 35%. He's a really, really good player. The one downside, well, actually, there's three downsides, really, is that he gets banged up a little bit and he shares carries with Jamal Williams and a little bit with A.J. Dillon. So, you know, there is an injury issue potentially around him. He's missed time. He gets dinged up a little bit, you know, not taking away from him. He also plays with an MVP quarterback. That helps. And he also plays with the best run blocking offensive line in the NFL. You know, David Bakhtiari is the best left tackle. Corey Lindsey is the best center. Elgton Jenkins, if you've not seen him at left guard, is one of the most underrated players in the league and a future multiple all pro. And they're pretty tidy on the left side, on the right side, but Lucas Patrick and our old friend Billy Turner. You know, Mercedes Lewis is a great blocking tight end. So, and the receivers can block. So there are factors that go into it, but clearly Barry Jackson was reporting the other day a kind of mutual interest between the Dolphins and Jones. So it'll be interesting to see if that's where he ends up. You know, you kind of feel like the Dolphins have got a bit of a hard on for Najee Harris. Been watching more of Javonta Williams over the last few days, and you know, he's a special player as well. Yes, you know, is. But I think, you know, if you take an Aaron Jones and you spend, I mean, PFF reporting that 4 years, what do they say, 45 million, 23 million, 26 million guaranteed, something like that. Mm-hmm. Feels on the light side to me, frankly. It kind of feels like you're taking, you know, you're taking running back off the market if you're looking at those three top backs, Harris, ETN and Javonta. I don't think you're going to pay Aaron Jones that kind of money and not make him your every down starter. I don't think they're going to waste, in inverted commas, a day one or a day two draft pick on a running back when you're spending that kind of free agent money on Aaron Jones. So we shall see. For me, if I was taking a Packers free agent, it would be Corey Linsley, the center, all pro center, and I'd be drafting one of those three backs. You know, I don't think you can go wrong with any of them. You know, and really what you're doing then is you're looking at scheme. With ETN, obviously, he was kind of absolutely born to play in an outside zone scheme. He is an electric kind of Alvin Kamara type with that ridiculous...
Well, he looks like Aaron Jones, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does a little bit. He does. You know, the contact balance, the big play waiting to happen whenever he gets the ball, dynamic in the pass game. You know, he's a guy who's really... developed as a receiver and as a route runner. You know, with Javonte, you're looking at just a big back. He's 5'10", he's 220, but he hurts people. You know, that's an outstanding combination of kind of vision, power, quickness. He led the nation in 10-plus yard runs and broken tackles. You know, was one of the more enjoyable players to watch in college football. And then we all know about Najee, big, physical, deceptively elusive. You know, he's Matt Forte, he's Steven Jackson. You know, highly effective in the pass game and in pass protection. Of four drop catches in what, 4 years at Alabama, and two came in the penultimate game. I think he's had one career fumble. And I suppose the knock on Najee is the same a little bit as the knock on Aaron Jones, the offense that he plays in. You know, there's an awful lot of talented players there that are helping him run to daylight, as it were. But it's a fascinating discussion. But I don't think you take an Aaron Jones, then you come back and take one of those three guys. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see that at all. Chris?
I have several things coming up. First off, Aaron Jones, very good player. I mean, Simon described him the best, so I don't want to get into it too much. But, I mean, you look at him, and it's clearly he's attractive. He can break tackles. He's got good good balance. He's got good vision. Actually, the vision is probably a little bit underrated. And clearly good speed as well. I mean, he came out of UTEP, a very athletic guy. I mean, he was like 5'9", 208 pounds, but he's, you know, 4.49 with jumping, with all kinds of jump and agility metrics that are very good. You know, he's a good player, and as Simon said, he can catch the football and factor in the passing game like really well. But I look at the offense, and I can't help but look at what's going on with the scheme and the offensive line and wonder if Simon mentioned it, if the better choice here is to go for a Corey Linsley and try to create the next Aaron Jones, you know? That's kind of what gets me, because Corey Linsley is a unique center. There are plays that you can call with Corey Linsley at center that you probably don't really want to call with other guys there. And I'm not even talking about, you know, slow centers, you know. We considered Ted Karras, for example, before this year to be kind of a slower guy that can't really get out into space that well. I think he surprised us on the upside just a little bit, to be fair to him. So I think with Corey Linsley, we're talking about a different creature. We're talking about a guy that can actually play in those outside zone schemes that the Shanahan family and their offshoots love so much. And so I think that Corey Linsley could be coveted because of that, because there are a lot of those offshoots springing up. You know, Mike McDaniel just got a job as an OC, and you know, there's more and more of those guys out there. Your choices are pretty limited if you want a guy that has that sort of explosive lateral mobility. You're either going to go big and heavy on Corey Linsley, or you're going to, you know, try and deal with a 33-year-old Ben Garland and accept some of his weaknesses. Or you're going to draft Drew Dalman from Stanford, or, you know, try and convert somebody that maybe we haven't thought about in the draft. It's really tough to try and get somebody. So Corey's going to be coveted, but if Miami had him, it'll go a long way toward creating their next Aaron Jones. And I think that's the thing that maybe we should focus on. But why are we hearing this? Why are we hearing about Aaron Jones? Two things come to mind. One, there was a mysterious note in one of Barry Jackson's more recent articles where he talked about there's sort of a, internal look happening at what went wrong with the Jordan Howard signing, particularly at running back. And I personally don't think it's just the Jordan Howard thing. I think it's, you know, Matt Breida and Jordan Howard. How did you end up with two guys that the running backs coach clearly didn't like or seemed not to like, you know, right from the get, that never ended up playing? You know, one of the guys ended up, you know, being kicked off the roster. Matt Breida, you know, we kept complaining about, like, we think this guy can play, but for some reason they just didn't like him and didn't like him. Didn't
he
like
was essentially
him.
Kicked off the roster since he was a healthy scratch.
Yeah, he was a healthy scratch.
Few games of the
So I mean, like, you kind of wonder about that, like, how, what was the process that ended up with guys that the coaching staff didn't end up really liking, and also what was the process that resulted in them missing out on the drafted running backs, that most of whom all did well. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that Eric Studsville had a thing for J.K. Dobbins, you know, for example. They didn't manage to get him. They didn't. I had heard that they had a thing for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they didn't end up getting him. They didn't end up getting Cam Jonathan Akers Taylor. Or Jonathan Taylor. They didn't end up getting, you know, or even A.J. Dillon, you know, or
Dobbins, you know, who they were going to take.
Dobbins, yeah,
he was taken one pick before them, yeah.
Yeah, so what was the process by which all this happened? And it kind of strikes me as Eric Studsville just got a promotion, and Eric Studsville doesn't want his voice to be ignored. And so when I read that blurb about, you know, this is a very this isn't just something that, you know, here are these five free agents that everybody knows about and why Miami could sign them. You know, this wasn't some nothing piece in an article. This was something significant that was told, and I think that it's probably a sign that Eric Studsville is going to pick the next guy. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. If you remember last year, and these are things that you don't usually hear about, and you only hear about them because it's so unusual. Eric Studsville was talking to J.K. Dobbins for almost 2 hours, and that was timed by somebody that was witnessing it. Okay, and then J.K. Dobbins announced that he wasn't going to work out at the combine. So everybody started putting two and two together. Mm-hmm. And we knew all the guys that they worked out. All of a sudden, they didn't take any of them. So, yeah, it makes perfect sense that Eric Studsville now has a promotion.
But then the question is, why Aaron Jones? Like, does Eric Studsville, is he signing on to Aaron? I think it's because more and more, as, you know, they're rounding into focus on these drafted players, and realizing they're not going to get Najee Harris or Javonte Williams unless they take them at 18.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that is just a true thing. And I think those are the top two backs in the draft. And I think that those are the guys that that Miami, you know, would probably focus on a little bit more even than Travis Etienne. And if you try and wait to 36, you're not going to get either of them. And that, I think that they're seeing that. And they're noticing that, and they're starting to think, wait a minute, you know, 18 could be a valuable pick. There could be guys, anybody could fall down to that 18 pick, you know? And so if you go ahead and just plunk that money down for Aaron Jones, you just wipe that off the board. And now the 18 pick is free to be used on any, you know, anything else, on some other player that falls down. You know, what if Micah Parsons falls down the board? You know, we think that Miami likes Zaven Collins. What if it's a tackle? What if they really, really loved Dylan Raddins? Or, you know, I think that it would free that pick up. And so you have to be looking at it as like, okay, you're either spending an 18 overall pick on the position, which is a pretty big asset, or you're spending this, you know, what did the number end up being, Simon, like $14 million a year or something like that for Aaron Jones. Like, those are both pretty big assets. And one of them is more of honestly, a little bit more of a sure thing, right? I mean, Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
So I think that's why. I think that's the why we're hearing that name all of a sudden. Like, they're making this sort of choice. Like, okay, well, if we don't get Aaron Jones, we're just going to have to use the 18 pick on Najee Harris or Javonte Williams. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah, and another thing to think about as far as Aaron Jones, who's his agent? Drew Rosenhaus. And Drew Rosenhaus will massage or attempt to massage players away from other teams if they're free agents and not going to get paid to Miami. He's tried before, and he will try again. So, and let's face it, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, he's an agent, and he's going to represent his players. He's a Dolphin fan, okay? I see him at practice all the time. I've seen him at games. The guy high fives just like the rest of us, all right? He's a Dolphin fan. You know, if a guy of his wants to be a Dolphin and the Dolphins want him, I think he's going to try to make it happen. And I think this is the case. Now, on Aaron Jones, it's interesting. Sammy, you were saying that he's often injured, and I completely agree. I watch him, and it's not that he misses a ton of games, because since he's been getting the ball, last year he played 16 of 16 games, started 16 games, finished them. I'm talking about 2019. In 2020, he started 14 games, finished the 14 games. The thing is that he gets injured in-game often and misses quarters, misses series. He gets dinged up, and Green Bay has the luxury of having three capable backs. I guess that's the argument against him, but I was watching Mike Florio and Chris Sims doing a free agency show, and they were mocking guys in free agency to certain teams, and of course, they mocked Aaron Jones to Miami. And Chris Sims was wondering how it could happen if he's going to get $15 million a year. And Mike Florio said something interesting. He said that the experience around the league, and he's talking to GMs around the league, and they're telling him that that's not going to happen anymore, that the Zeke Elliott contract is something that has soured a lot of NFL GMs, and that he would be surprised, and these are his words, if Aaron Jones got more than $11 million a year. Mm. Now, this begs the question. I started thinking of it like that. And if I think of it that way, Aaron Jones at $11 million a year, why not, Simon? I just do
it. I would do it too. He's a really good player. But I would, you know, I would just draft a running back. It's easier. And look, but I've said it on the pod before. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins left round one with Penny Sewell and Zaven Collins, not an offensive playmaker in those two names. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And Dolphins fans will absolutely shit their loafs. But I would, you know, I could give you decent odds that's what happens. And they don't touch an offensive weapon player at any point in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, going back to Jones just for a second, I mean, he said three MCL sprains on his knee, all grade two, two in 2017, one in 2018. He's had two thigh injuries. He missed his sophomore year, all but two games of his sophomore year in college because of a broken ankle. He obviously left the NFC Championship game with a chest injury. I think he's had a couple of concussions. So, you know, his injury history is a bit of a red flag. But he's a great kid, likable guy, and a really, really good player. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, he would easily be the best running back here since Ricky Williams, the first go-around, right? I would say.
And you get to use that number 18 pick on something else.
Yeah. So I'll ask you the question, Chris. 11 million, if Florio is right, 11 million a year, why not? Would you do it?
Ultimately, I'd say probably not. So I like just him.
Just flat out pass. Okay.
I like him. You know, there's nothing to dislike about the guy. I'm not going to pick at his game or anything like that. I just think that, you know, the history of the running backs on that second contract is pretty, I mean, Simon just mentioned it, you know, this is why you don't give that second contract to those running backs. We just talked about how Todd Gurley is 28 years old or 27 years old, and he looks like he's 37. So you know, I don't like that. I think that's a risk. I'm trying to add up the risks, and there's risk there. There's system risk. This is not the system, the Green Bay system. It's not the same system. Certainly not the same passing attack, complementary passing attack, not same scheme, and not the same offensive line. Then we don't have a Corey Linsley operating out in space. We don't have David Bakhtiari and, as Simon mentioned, Elgton Jenkins and some of the athleticism that they have with like a Billy Turner, who's very athletic. There's risk there. There's risk to having a guy go from all that to come into this new environment, new team, everything new. And it's like, what the fuck happened? You know, this is not the player we thought we were getting. You know, that happens all the time. And so I think that there's risk there. And so what I'd really focus on is trying to create the, the environment where you can make your own new Aaron Jones. And I would look at those running backs at the 18 pick, Najee Harris and Javonte Williams, even Javonte Williams at number 18. I think that'd be a fine pick to me. I'm not going to complain about that one bit.
That's not a reach for me at all.
No, you know? not at all. Not at all. And I think that if you had to pick between Najee and Javonte, I think it'd be a coin flip for anybody except for perhaps Miami because of the Tua factor. Might be fair, because if you're picking between Najee and Javonte at number 18, you might go with the guy that has that built-in chemistry, especially since he's such a massive impact on the passing game. As a player, Najee Harris is one of the best pass catching backs I've ever, I've seen coming out. And so you might want to get that chemistry with Tua, but at the same time, it's like flip a coin, man. Javonte is awesome. So I'd rather just create the conditions and make Najee Harris or Javonte Williams the next Aaron Jones or the next Ricky Williams. I think that can happen.
Yeah, the argument as far as like money, I'm looking at a few contracts here. There's three guys that are making in the neighborhood of what Aaron Jones is rumored to want. And we're talking about Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara. Those are the guys that are in the 15s and plus 15. Okay. And then inexplicably, David Johnson is still there at $13 million a year. But there was two extensions made last year. Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, pretty good backs, both with 12-ish averages. And I don't know if I can get Aaron Jones to play ball and get himself into the Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry tier. Man, I'd be tempted. It frees up 18 to do a bunch of different things.
It's true.
And which I guess leads us to how we'll close the show. And I'll start with you, Simon. What are you doing with the running back position? What resources are you gonna devote to it? Is it a high pick? Are you gonna go mining for somebody in the later rounds, or are you gonna go the free agency route, which is kind of obvious you're not because you kind of passed, although you said you would do it at 11. So let's put some parameters. Let's say Aaron Jones for Dalvin Cook's contract, 12.5 a year, something like that.
It's not my cash, so I keep coming back to it. I mean, I would draft a guy. The Dolphins have been showing interest in a number of running backs. Jamar Jefferson at Oregon State, Shane Simpson of Virginia. They interviewed the other day. We know how much they like Najee Harris. They're going to like Javonte Williams. I look at, my board of running backs in terms of how I have them stacked at the moment, and I go through them and I would say Harris, yes, they'll definitely, they definitely like him. Etienne, clearly a great player. I just wonder whether or not he's a bit too much like the kind of satellite backs they've got with Gaskin and what's his name? The Salvan Ahmed. Mm-hmm. Javonte Williams, yeah, absolutely. Michael Carter, I mean, he's 5'7", 202 pounds. He's a great player. He's tough. Again, is he quite what they're looking for? Jefferson is my fifth ranked back, 5'10", 217 pounds. I mean, I wonder if playing at Oregon State and therefore being televised in the early hours of the morning on the East Coast is the reason why he doesn't get as much love as his game suggests he should. Kylan Hill at Mississippi State, Trey Sermon at Ohio State, big backs. Then you're back to like Kenny Gainwell at 190 pounds, Demetric Felton at 189 pounds. Then the kid that Chris loves, Brendan Knox of Marshall, he's 223 pounds. I would draft a running back, but I wouldn't be disappointed. And I would understand the rationale if they signed Aaron Jones, because it just frees up another position. And that's ultimately where, we've got all these picks. If you can make some moves in free agency, that allows you then to do more things of bringing better players in the draft, other positions in need, because you filled other positions. But if I was bringing in Aaron Jones, I would definitely be spending a pick, early in day three on a running back. And, for me, that would be a Jamar Jefferson of Oregon State.
Have you looked at Ramondre Stevenson?
Because I have looked at Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah. I mean,
and that go well with Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones is not the biggest of backs, right? Ramondre is
6'2", 227. Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying, yeah, Aaron Jones is not the biggest of backs, and Ramondre is. So now you've got, because this is what I'm worried about. I'm looking at the Miami's best short yardage plays were basically trick plays this year. And so they had nothing. They had nothing on short yardage. It was embarrassing. And so I'm looking at these running back situations, or these, you know, the ideas at the position, and I'm trying to fill holes. Like, I'm trying, okay, well, do you have a guy that can block for the quarterback? That's good. Do you have a guy that can pass catch? That's good. Do you have a guy that can, you know, run the ball on first down and second down? That's good. Okay, what about short yardage? Because we were awful there, and it was an impact. It was a big. Yeah. I mean, if we had third and one, it might as well have been third and five. I mean, it was really bad.
If it was third and inches or fourth and inches, Tua was 4 for 4.
Yeah, well, there you go. But but it has to be inches. It has to be inches, right?
Yeah, he's a hammer, Ramondre.
He's a hammer. And also in those Senior Bowl practices, something I noticed, he's a lot better. He's a lot better and smoother of a pass catcher than I thought. I was a little bit surprised.
I think he could play as an H-back. I think he's got excellent hands.
Yeah, and Miami coached him at the Senior Bowl. So I kind of wonder, you know, now we're shifting focus a little bit to Aaron Jones. What if it's Aaron Jones and then, you know, circle back with Ramondre in the later stages? That could be.
Yeah. Now, I'm reading something here, which is really interesting. FanDuel has started to do their most likely lists. And what they do is that they start putting odds on certain players becoming, you know, a player for a certain team. Like Najee Harris, what are the odds that he is a Buccaneer or he's a Dolphin or he's a Jet? And on Travis Etienne, and it's the highest. And for some reference, last year they predicted in the first round for the Miami Dolphins, they predicted Tua Tagovailoa number 5. They predicted Austin Jackson. And then they predicted Antoine Winfield. So they were pretty damn close.
Wow.
This year they have Travis Etienne, most likely destination, New York Jets at number 23 or 34. Their second most likely destination is Miami Dolphins at number 36. Their third most likely is the Buccaneers at 32. So I guess we'll close with this because it's, you know, it's a head scratcher because if you go back a year, his press was a lot better. What's happened to Travis Etienne? And I guess I'll start with you, Simon. You seem to have a pretty good handle on the running backs this year.
Yeah, I don't think anything's happened to him. I just think he's, you know, the pandemic didn't help. I don't think anything's happened. I mean, he finished 2020 leading all backs in college football with almost 600 receiving yards. And he has the most 10 plus yard gains on passes behind the line of scrimmage since 2018. More than, I think he has two more than Devonta Smith in that. What I love about him is that he's just improved so much in the pass game. He's understood what his limitations were. And that was receiving and pass protection. He's still not great in pass protection, but he shows the requisite effort and toughness and willingness. You know, you watch him against Chaz Surratt in 2019, he gets bullied, you know, but he's getting better at it. But as a receiver, you know, he's so hugely improved to the point where he's now just an extremely good route runner. He's a dynamic pass catcher, you know, and he's not a dump off or screen guy. He runs wheel routes. He runs go balls. He had a 92.3% catch rate, according to Pro Football Focus in 2020. You know, he's a really, really good player. I just think that Miami needs a bigger back. You know, I don't think they need an Alvin Kamara guy because they've got guys with sort of, you know, not as good as him, but similar skill sets already on the roster. And it just doesn't seem to me to make a huge amount of sense.
Chris, same question.
The betting line makes sense to me for one reason, and that's that if they don't take a guy at 18, and I'm not saying that they will. I mean, there's going to be some good players that get there. If they don't, then the only one of those three that could be available at 36 is probably Travis Etienne. I don't think either of the other two will be available there. And Travis might not be either. You know, I think that I'm not trying to get down on him. I'm saying he probably has the most chance of the three because of the size thing. And it's because, you know, these teams do get stuck on the blocking thing, and I don't give a shit about the blocking technique in college because I've seen too many guys that don't know what the hell they're doing in college with blocking, and then they get to the NFL and they're taught by coaches how to do it, and they're told that they have to do it to play, and suddenly they're Frank fucking Gore. I mean, so you know, I don't care about the technique so much, but I do care about the inherent traits. And you know, as far as size, strength, and stuff like that go, for Travis Etienne as a blocker, not sure I see it. So that will ding him. I mean, yes, he's going to be a factor in the passing game. I mean, he's fast as shit. You know, Javon Best comes to mind, or somebody like that. You know, but yeah, I could see him being the one that is most likely to fall to 36 because of that factor. So that's why if I were Vegas and I were setting lines, I'd be like, you know, okay, yeah, the Jets. But otherwise, you know, Miami needs a back clearly. They might not, 18 might be too rich for their blood, but then those other guys aren't going to fall down there. So to 36, and Travis Etienne might. So that's what I would think. But this is critical, this running back position. I'll just finish on this. They need to build a foundation for Tua that's probably based on the running game. I mean, that's probably what fits him as a quarterback. It's what he did at Alabama. Their foundational principle of the offense at Alabama that he was running was that if you're in a seven-man front and you got two safeties back, we're going to pound the shit out of you and just run it over and over and over and over again, and we're going to kill you that way. And it's the founding principle upon which everything else was built, the RPO and then the play pass and then the crossers, you know, stuff like that. It's all built off of that foundation, the ground game. They have to fix that. And that's why we're talking about like Penny Sewell at number three overall, even though we all would love the playmaker, you know, we would all love Devontae Smith. So, you know, they need to do this, and they're going to have to take the running back position very seriously this offseason to do it, because I think there's going to be a reaction to the fact that maybe they hadn't taken the position seriously enough in the two previous off seasons. So that's why we're talking about these guys. That's why we're talking about all the money for Aaron Jones, and then on top of it, taking a Ramondre Stevenson or somebody like that, or Jamar Jefferson, as Simon alluded to. And so I think that 18 pick, you know, probably could be Najee or Javonte Williams. I really would forecast it.
Yeah, and on this show, and we're going to talk about one last running back, and you got to admit, we covered it all as far as the running back position in this podcast. But another guy that they talked about, and Mike Florio seems to talk with a lot of authority, so he must really like his source with the Miami Dolphins. And I have an idea of what you guys are going to think, because I think we talked about this in an earlier podcast. But he said he wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins circled back on Le'Veon Bell and revisited that whole thing. Simon, any interest whatsoever? He's going to be chief.
I mean, he did nothing with the Chiefs. He didn't look the same player. I mean, what a waste of a career. What a waste. Such a talented guy. Was potentially heading for the Hall of Fame, and he just blew it. So, no, I don't think any interest from my point of view.
Chris, any interest?
You know, he actually chose you. He said he chose the Chiefs because he wasn't ready for all the carries that the Dolphins were going to toss at him. Like that's what he said after sitting out the year. And so part of me does wonder, I mean, again, I go back to like the Jadeveon Clowney thing. I mean, they had a hard on for the guy. So yeah, they could circle back. And I think it is absolutely possible they could go with him. And then that takes a little bit of the pressure off of which rookie that they have to take in the draft, and how chancy they need to be, or do they have to get somebody at 18? Can they try and wait? You know, I think that would take a little bit of the pressure off. So yeah, I do see it. I do think it's very possible now that he's got a season. He's rounding back into playing shape. And he did factor into the playoffs, I thought, didn't he? Maybe I'm mistaken. I don't know.
I don't think he played in the playoffs, did he?
He played very little. He was a third down back, I think, in one of the games, and he was a pass blocker.
It was one of the later games. I thought he was on the field a little bit more.
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was injured in one of the games. I know that.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you're right. He didn't do anything this season, but I think a part of that was he was kind of rounding himself back into form, and maybe that's why he chose against Miami to begin with, and so maybe he's ready. But if not, just toss him, whatever.
Yeah. All right. So we'll close with this. Predictions. We've mentioned, I wouldn't say a dozen, a little less than a dozen running backs. Most likely Miami Dolphin running back. Out of all these guys that we've mentioned, out of this entire group, who is the most likely Miami Dolphin, Simon?
Najee Harris.
Great pick. Chris?
Yeah, I'd have to say Najee.
So obviously it's at 18 where you guys are going to take him. I would be nervous about 18. I could see somebody getting froggy and leaping them. I think this Aaron Jones thing is for real.
And well, if they do, then you get Javonte Williams, and who cares?
Yeah, that's true. I think that this Aaron Jones thing is for real. This is not – I don't think
I
this
do too.
I think this is for real, and I don't have any information. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not – I don't have a direct line to Drew Rosenhaus, although I used to. But I think this has legs, and if the price becomes palpable, let's say 11, 12 and a half, he gets a Dalvin Cook deal, he could be a Miami Dolphin. So that would be my pick. I think Aaron Jones happens if the price is right. All right. That's it. That's two more shows this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.